Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? So Katherine Heigl, you know her from Grey's Anatomy, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says that she's seen more issues with dog joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. So what she's discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. But fortunately, she has found that by just adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformation in their health. And she has made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, y'all know I'm a cat lady. Y'all know that Kiki is the queen of the shit show here. But I watched this video and there's actually some things that I can apply to her health. So hopefully she'll live another 15 years or so. So go to badlandsfood.com/adultchild and watch Katherine's video. Again, that is badlandsfood.com/adultchild.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Shit show. All right, welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have Shit Show Claire here with us today. Hello, Shit Show Claire.
Hello, Shit Show Andrea.
What song do you want played when you walk into a room?
Okay, so it's gonna be I think it's the title track from the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, but it's called He's a Pirate, and it's, you know, it's like the classic tune that you hear. I loved those movies, so that's my track. Now, an incredibly close second, I don't know if that's allowed, is a song called Once Upon a Time by Mariah Lynn. Do you know Mariah Lynn? Oh, gosh. Well, you got to give it a listen. I think you might get a kick out of it.
Okay, carbohydrate.
Pasta.
What kind? How do you want it prepared?
I want it homemade.
What kind of noodle?
A pappardelle, which is like a fettuccine, but wide, you know, wider.
Yes.
And then a short rib ragu or a hearty meat. Italian meat song.
Okay, cheese.
Probably a sharp cheddar, closely followed by a baked brie.
Sharp cheddar is definitely an overwhelming favorite for everyone. Okay, and condiment.
No, never. Like salad dressing counts. That's a no.
What?
Dry leaves.
Oh my God.
Lemon juice is okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a crime.
And to clear up any confusion, barbecue sauce.
No.
Pesto. It's good. That's not a condiment.
No.
You can you know what I mean.
Okay. Yeah. So, but would you put that on a sandwich?
I will.
Okay. That's a condiment. Sorry. That's a condiment. Okay. So how did you find out that you were an adult child?
So it was relatively recent. So I'm 28 now. And it was basically 1 year and a month ago, because it was when the school year ended last year. I'm a teacher. It was my first year teaching with my own classroom. So I took the summer off and the school year ended. And I was like, oh, I'm going to feel amazing. And I felt awful. And I don't know, maybe we can get into that more. But really, I was Googling what's wrong with me. I was vomiting twice a day. I wasn't really eating anymore. I wasn't really sleeping very well. I was getting up at 4 in the morning. sometimes, like smoking a little bit of weed to feel better, and then like playing World of Warcraft on my boyfriend's computer. And I just like couldn't get up off the couch. And I started like scaring myself with some of the thoughts that I was having. And so I started Googling, and I called one of my close friends at one point, and I was like, I figured it out. Like, I have borderline personality disorder, like all of these things. And it might have been your podcast. It might have literally been your podcast. And I can't remember exactly. But once I had like found, you know, I was digging.
And what were you Googling? And was it mostly physical symptoms, or was it mental symptoms too?
You know, I wonder how long search history lasts. Because one of the first things that I'm going to do is check, like literally check back and see if I can find it, because I'm incredibly fascinated.
I think it probably depends on if you have your settings set a certain way. Oh, wow, that'd be so fun.
Yes. So I really don't remember what I was Googling, but physically, like the throwing up was really weird for me, and the lack of sleep and the not eating, like it was getting weird, but I think mentally was more concerning. Like I was literally having
suicidal thoughts.
Yeah. Which I was like, whoa, you know? And so
And we'll get into your childhood, but what was your understanding of your childhood at this point in time? Was it hard for you to grasp, like, oh, I think I have trauma from my childhood?
I knew it was like not great. Mm-hmm. Like it was obvious enough to me that some things were a little bit off. Mm-hmm. I knew that alcohol was involved to a certain extent, but I thought that I got out of it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm very studious, you know? So I figured out how to get through school very successfully. Like that wasn't really a problem for me. And then, you know, I had a job. Yeah. I was like, I ran away from, I mean, I literally, my first job after graduating from college was like, I got on a boat and went far away. I was running, you know, but I thought.
Were you like a yachty?
Not a yachty. But on like an old, I didn't even realize I'm wearing this shirt, on like an old wooden ship.
What were you doing?
Doing education programs, but also working
You were living on the ship?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So what were the circumstances that led up to you hitting that bottom and the school year ended? Like, had you been struggling? What was going on in your life?
It honestly is like, it's kind of hard to remember now. But I was also in a relationship that I'd been in since I was 20. And so for 7 years, that was like super just not fulfilling and like really just unhappy in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I am responsible for half of it too, right? But I think that I was starting to like see for the first time. And that was really scary. I also like things were escalating with my family too. I was in denial about how much it affected me, but I had one particularly memorable visit with my mom. And I think it was February of that year when I was on vacation. It was in the winter. I went up to Vermont, and that was when she said, and she's like said things like this to me before, but I will never forget her saying, if I could go back and not have you, I would. Mm. You are so lucky to be alive. I love you out of obligation, but I do not like you and the person that you are. Mm. And like that just like is like so painful, but also like I just could not ignore that. Like how, like I can't, like you can't, like I couldn't ignore it anymore, you know? And so I think that was like rattling. It was a number of things.
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
It's really nasty. Okay. So let's backtrack. So when we were talking yesterday, you talked about your parents living in separate houses or separate beds pretty much your entire life. Is that what you said?
Yeah. And I know, so we were in Philadelphia until I was 6. At that time, they were in the same room. But pretty soon after we moved to Vermont, when I was going into second grade, they were in separate bedrooms.
Was it discussed?
No. Oh, my. Andrea. No, that was a big theme. Nothing was discussed. Yeah. But also that wasn't even weird to me, you know, at that time. That was
no any different. What's your earliest childhood memory?
I have a number of like scattered memories from when I was 5, and definitely nothing before 5, I think. And there's kind of like simultaneous neutral ones, happy ones, and sad ones. I think the most memorable ones are the holidays. I think the earliest one is waking up and like knowing my sister was awake on Christmas morning, and my parents are just like screaming at each other.
So did they always fight?
Yeah, that was a major constant.
And what would they fight about?
I know that a lot of times where it came from was my mom felt as though she was giving everything, and it had a lot of expectations for things from back from my dad and from everyone else, and wasn't getting it, and mm-hmm. felt very much like the victim.
And you were a listener like me, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My sister was, we always shared a room. And we had these two little twin beds that'd be on, you know, opposite sides of the room. And I remember I would just be, I was able to adapt by shutting down and she wasn't. And so I remember just like watching her bawl and cry, mm-hmm. writhe. And I'd just, you know, be like, either just like kind of sitting there listening, or if I couldn't hear it, but I knew it was happening. Yeah. I'd go like sit at the top of the stairs or go find, you know, find what was going on.
Would they fight in front of you guys?
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Would they ever pull you into it?
I think so. I think sometimes I would try to stop it. A lot of times if it was like at dinner, it was a time when my sister and I were in the room, I was the joker. And so I could like, I mean, I would try to throw out jokes, and like 50% of the time you'd like get swatted away at, and 50% of the time it would really work, you know, and then everyone would kind of like start laughing. That was my biggest involvement, I think.
And what role did your sister play?
I don't even know, but she was really affected and like really emotional. Like she really felt it. Felt things deeply, I think. I remember watching her feel things. And mm-hmm. I remember like understanding that like I wasn't feeling what she was feeling.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I haven't talked to her that much about this. I was like so excited. I was like, oh, Katie, I found the answer. We're going to be okay. And of course, she hasn't taken this up because it's not the right time for her. And that's okay right now.
Yeah. But what did she say when you...
Yeah. So we didn't get into specifics at first. And she was kind of like upset. And she like cried a little bit, I think. But what really... set it off was I was like, yeah, you know, like I can't pretend that dad didn't rip the banister out of the wall, which was one of more memorable like violent situations. And I just like said that like I do without feeling. And she on the phone, this was like a few months ago, she just like lost her shit. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so sorry for putting you back. Like you didn't have any choice about me putting you back in that place. But I was like, wow, she like feels it. And right now she's feeling it again. Like, why can't I feel this?
So what was your relationship like with your mom and your dad?
So my mom always stayed at home and raised my sister and I. And my dad was, so she was like always, always around. My dad had a really great job that supported us, but especially when we were younger, he was gone very frequently for travel. And even just like days in the office were really long, you know, he wasn't around mm-hmm. as much. So with him though, he would like, now, this is where some of the fights were about. He would like swoop in though and take us on fun like adventures. So he loved being outside. So he would want us to go like biking with him or sailing with him or hiking with him or whatever. He'd scoop us up to go skiing and often leave my mom at home. And mm-hmm. There were a lot of fights about that. My relationship with both of them was not emotionally intimate, but I didn't really have any problems with I didn't think my relationship with my dad had that many problems, but it just wasn't close emotionally. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't as much distress as my relationship with my mom. She was a yeller and a screamer. Super unpredictable sometimes, very predictable other times, but really constant. And so I think it was just like a lot of fear in that relationship.
What were the attacks typically?
It was so deep down. Like she really thought it was well-meaning, which is like psycho. But she really, really did, a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
And one theme was being perceived as like imperfect or like looking bad or like whatever. So there was an incredible amount of body shaming. You know, my metabolism was faster, so I didn't like literally just physically. So I didn't take as much of the immediate brunt of this when I was in like middle school. But I mean, threats of going to the like send you to the fat farm and like all of this like really wild. I mean, even now I can't like we walk in the room and you notice you get the look, the up, the down, like checking out what you're wearing. You're going to get a comment if it's not okay. So like very much outward appearance. One example of that, which I think is really interesting. I was in third grade and my mom signed. I was like really good in school. You know, I was totally on track, no problem. But she wanted me to be smarter than everyone else. And or like get ahead or like set me up for success, you know, in a good way. It seems like it's a good thing. But so she sent me to every Wednesday to this really lovely lady to do extra math 30 minutes from our house. And I like there was no problem. But I in a conversation with a friend about what are you doing after school, I mentioned that. And that friend mentioned it to her mom, who then called my mom to see if she could get in on the extra math. And that's where I fucked up big time, right? Because like no one else can have that. And so I'm like, like what? It's like confusing. That one also wasn't even the most confusing. Like I could figure that out. Like I figured out where I went wrong and learned from it. But sometimes it was like there was so many steps removed that it was hard.
What do you know about her childhood? Anything?
So little, like unbelievably little. But I do know that her dad died when she was like 12, and she doesn't have like her mom. She'll like talk to me about how her relationship with her mom is like not, you know, great. And her sister is an alcoholic and she doesn't talk to her sister at all. Same for my dad's sister. My dad's sister from alcoholism. So they're both, my parents are both hero children.
Was anyone aware of what the dynamics were like in your home other than your immediate family?
I do not think so. There was an incredible effort to make sure that that wasn't the case, but it would like come out. And that's what I remember a few times where like, I feel that other adults failed me because I know that they like saw little pieces of it. My mom is so fucking scary. Like that woman, like she's a force too. And there are incredibly positive things about her that make mm-hmm. her such a fucking force of nature. And I mean mm-hmm. that in a good way, in some mm-hmm. way. But I don't think any, like nobody was going to fuck with her. One of them is my doctor. Like we, you know, when you're a kid and you go to the pediatrician, like you sit in the doctor's office and you like, you sit with your mom
yeah.
and she's answering questions for me. And the doctor's like making comments. And I will never forget when my pediatrician, who was wonderful, but she made some comment about like, well, yeah, but it's healthy for kids to have a little bit of independence. And my mom, you know, like the scary laugh, like the turn of the, oh yes, well, no, 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 you know. And my doctor, like I saw the look and like she knew and she didn't do anything. Not to the extent, you know, but another one, I know a teacher saw one time, like we went on a field trip in second grade or third grade, because it was kite day. The school would do like a field day at the end of the day. And I had something, maybe it was like an appointment. Maybe it was like an early skating practice. I don't know. I was supposed to get picked up, but being like a dumb kid, just being a kid, I forgot. Like I went on the field trip. Like I forgot. I don't know. We're going to the park. Great. We're going to the park. And I went with the class, and the school was so close. The town was tiny that mm-hmm. I grew up. Like 4,000 people. And so there's the school and you walk down the main street and there's the park. And so to pick me up, she had to find me by just like driving down the main street and found our class. And she like grabbed onto me and like threw me into the car yelling in front of my entire class.
So then when do you feel like you saw the symptoms of your childhood appear like in your life, like as you go to college and become a young adult?
Yeah, retrospectively, I could not make the connection. And yeah. Like really in a meaningful way, I genuinely didn't make the connection until a year ago. But I started using alcohol when I was in high school. It was, I guess probably it was after I had this first boyfriend who I like loved so much. And I had a really hard time when he broke up with me. And so just like, you know, and it was going into my junior year, which is when people like typically like more people start to experiment. Mm-hmm. And alcohol was like amazing. It made every, you know, you, I don't have to tell you, like it made everything better. The relief, I felt connected. It was like wonderful. And so at that point I knew that my mom was drinking because I would make like in a water bottle, she would drink a lot of Canadian Club, which was gross. I was like, why not something else? Like, help me out. But it was always Canadian Club whiskey. And so that would be like the base, but then I'd throw in a little bit of the creme de menthe in the back and a little bit of like the cooking sherry in this like brown, green, like sewer Poland Spring water bottle. Mm-hmm. And I'd roll up to the party and like the girl sitting across from me is having a twisted tea. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like you, like what? That doesn't make sense. You know, I'm like blacking out. It's happening. You know, mm-hmm. I'm starting to have like my junior year, I'm starting to have like real trouble in relationships.
Friendships too.
Friendships, mm-hmm. romantic relationships, all of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It like really went downhill and I became really isolated. Yeah. And then in college, I mean, it's just more of the same.
Where'd you go to college again?
I went to Hamilton College in upstate. Uh-huh. So it's in a really yeah. small town. I'm thankful though, because if I had been at like NYU or like, I mean, I don't even know, like I literally would be dead. I mean, I went to a college and it's like, it's higher power shit, right? Like whatever. But I went to a place that was like a boarding school, high school, you know, like we are all living mm-hmm. on campus in the dorms. Mm-hmm. You're card like counts for your 3 meals a day, like people will check up on you, you're not living alone, like you're not responsible for jack shit beyond like dragging your ass to class, you know, like that type of environment. But I made it because I could do the academics, like I was fine. But yeah, I was blacking out like it was my job. And I remember like I put this together relatively early that like, and I might have shared in group about this one time, but I would start every night with the same 3 friends taking 4 shots of raspberry Svedka. And I didn't stand a chance. Like my body couldn't handle that. Like, why did I think that was the magic number? I don't know. I mean, as a starter, right? But it was like, I'm going to fall in love tonight. every time because I was looking to be saved.
Yes. Okay. Well,
I'd be like on the floor. Yeah. You know the rest.
I do. Let's talk about the relationship stuff and what have patterns looked like for you?
I think I find it so hard to talk about the relationships because of my infidelity, which is something that I've started to share about in group. Mm-hmm. And it did start in high school because I had this, like, what I felt and thought at the time was this like big love. And it was like, that was my first drug, right? Like that was before mm-hmm. I started using alcohol. It was my sophomore year and it made everything okay. Mm-hmm. And there were like, it wasn't also a super toxic thing. Like he definitely wasn't totally healthy. Like his mom had died a couple years back. Like he was dealing with stuff. There was like a bond there, but it wasn't all bad. And that I was looking for it again ever since that. And so that got me. The person that I dated afterwards, I cheated on him with my like original ex when he came back, of course, because it was like, yes, like you're the person, right? That wasn't even like a second thought, which isn't like the best. And so I really mistreated that other person who, by the way, I was just living with a year ago because he was the best friend of the guy that I just dated for 7 years. So that is like also mm-hmm. perfect. But I would continue on and I didn't think about this either until a year ago, but I literally have not been faithful in a relationship since then, which I is like awful. Mm. And like, I don't think reflects like the person that I am, but there's like something relationally that is like really, really like off. So I was kind of, I would just like ping pong to different people in high school. I'd be, you know, cheating on them the whole time with this one person who kind of just like would come back. And then in college, I was never, this is the other reason why it's really hard. I wasn't able to get into a relationship for the first 2 years. Cause I mean, like my behavior was so dysfunctional. I like almost did one time. I really liked this one guy, but then he like saw me black out on and like someone's like, you know, like making out with someone else and was like, hey, you know, we didn't really talk about this, but I think I might take a step back. And I'm like, no, why? Like, ooh. I couldn't hold it together. And I ended up getting myself into a lot of situations where I like felt like I couldn't leave. And there was like a lot of sexual assault that like I never told anyone about because it was so like I was so ashamed of it. I would go out and I'd be like trying to fall in love, you know, and then I'd be like incredibly drunk. And whenever someone would show like any kind of interest in me, you know, I would be like there for it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that's all I really wanted is like that feeling. But then I would get back into these situations and I would just shut down completely. And that's a big pattern for me is just not being able to like express my needs or say anything, you know, but like in many of those situations, like I probably could have left, mm-hmm. but like, I mean, I felt like I couldn't, I didn't. And that, yeah. Like I remember waking up out of a blackout in some like random junior's bed. And like, it was before anything had happened, I think, cause my clothes were on. I was like, like great, like they got up to go to the bathroom, so I like popped out of bed, I ran out the door, I grabbed some girl's Uggs, never brought them back, sorry, you know, that was the one casualty of that night. It was winter, oh, it was freezing, couldn't find my shoes, and I like ran, yeah, I ran across campus back to my bed, and he like messaged me the next day like, what happened? Touching that. But I just never, I could never like talk about it with any of my friends or anyone because I was so ashamed.
And then how did the 7-year relationship end? Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today. Do you know how many times I've set the intention that on Sunday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to plan my meals out for the week, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to get everything that I need, I'm going to come home, I'm going to make all my meals for the week. Do you know how many times I've actually been successful in doing that? Not once, folks, okay? Not one single time. But alas, I have found the perfect solution. Meet Sunbasket, a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your damn door. You get to pick and choose what you're in the mood for every week. Maybe one week you're feeling Mediterranean, maybe another week you're feeling a little carb consciousness. I like the sound of that. I most recently made, it was a spinach and strawberry salad with steak. It was damn good. So go to sunbasket.com/adultchild today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/adultchild to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. All right, my shit show ladies, let me tell you about how I can make getting dressed so much easier for you. Armoire is a clothing rental membership where you get to build your perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you gotta do is take a 5-minute style quiz and then select from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles. So I love this because I'm on video quite often on interviews and social media content, and I don't want people to be like, is that the only shirt that this girl owns? I also would not consider myself in the know of what's hot and what's not. But with Armoire, I get to pretend like I'm a fashionista. So this is perfect for working moms, for stay-at-home moms, for any women who just don't feel like going to the store. Now, right now, you shit show ladies can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. So that is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/adultchild. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/adultchild to get 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear ever again.
Wait, yeah. So this is happening, right? And things are going downhill. It's my sophomore year, all of this. And so I got into that relationship, I think now, because like this was my one friend from high school who had stuck by me, the guy that I was with. And so I started dating him in the summer of after my sophomore year.
Was he at a different school?
He was at a different school. I wasn't unfaithful like at school, but it would creep up on me. Often there was drinking involved. It only happened like, I think it was like 3 times throughout the course of those 7 years, but I like thought about it every day, you know, like into a cycle. It very much like contributed to my belief that I did not deserve like the type of
fulfilling relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, of course, because of what I was doing, you know, mm-hmm. And that, but it ended because I think I started to really try to speak up for what I needed. And so that was, for example, I think he was an addict. I think he like really had a serious problem with video game addiction. He worked from home, but like whether if it was like lunch break or whatever, he like always had the screen open. It was every single day when I came home from school. We would never go to bed at the same time because he would be gaming late and was always like talking to people. And so I would get the message. He would be like, oh, I'm just tired. I don't really want to talk or I don't really want to do anything. But then like we're in, oh my God. And by the way, the computer's in the bedroom. Like he's gaming in the bedroom. And I would like ask if he could stop earlier so that we could like go to bed at the same time, or so that I could go to sleep, because like the clacking of the keyboard and like the flashing lights were stopping me from being able to sleep. But he like couldn't do that, you know? Or, and this was the other thing. He'd be talking to like friends, this whole community of people, and not to me. And one of my like big requests that I wanted so bad, I was so proud of myself. I was like, maybe you can get a microphone so that I can hear the conversation. Like, can you get a microphone, like a speaker, so that I can hear, like, I just want to listen, you know, I want to hear it so that I feel like I'm like a part of it. I don't know. And like, it just, it was like, I noticed myself saying things and doing a lot of things that my mom was doing. Like, we hadn't been on a vacation together in like the 7 years of our dating. And so I got an Airbnb on Plum Island. It was awesome. And I planned the whole thing. And then I was like asking him to like plan a day of it, and then to like make a choice just on one day. And then it finally came. I've never made a scene in public ever, except for this one time, because he would like, wouldn't choose the restaurant. And then what, like, we're there. And then he wouldn't choose whether we were going to sit like at a table or at the bar.
Oh God.
And then I just fucking lost it. I can't. And so I felt like I was doing all of that labor, but really, I mean, we didn't really have like an authentic, like connected relationship. And that, I mean, that's the root of it. Yeah. And I do think that it felt really safe. Like I identified that I was out of control. And I was like, I think that being with this person, like, I think this, we never fought. So I was like, this is it. Like, this is what I want for the rest of my life, because this person will never yell at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, that was big. And then like, maybe there's a much bigger connection about like specifically my emotional distance from my dad, and then my emotional distance to him.
So talk about the last year and a month. What have you learned about yourself?
You know, I think that honestly, the thing at the top of my mind right now is just like acceptance of it all. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know this, that for me, that like the major thing that's on my mind right now is I did start my own. I'm day 10 of my own AA program.
Have you been going to meetings?
Yeah. Okay. I have a sponsor.
You do? Oh, amazing.
Yes, we're on a 2-week trial.
Oh, good. Is she making you go to meetings every day?
Yeah. And she literally lives like two doors. Like, she lives like on the same street as me, which
amazing.
Is
amazing. How long has she been sober?
Definitely at least a few years. And she's like, great. Worked all the and everything. Yeah. Yeah. And is a part of a, like a nice family. They have, you know,
good.
The grand.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. So I think like, it's just, I just like am accepting it. And I'm not. Yeah. Like I'm just willing to be uncomfortable. I think where I've arrived now, what I haven't done. See, I can tell you what I haven't done yet and what I want to work on next, not what I have done. I'm like in a place where I think I'm really ready to start to process these things that happened. Like, I still haven't been able to touch it.
Yeah.
Like in my body. Mm-hmm. And so I think I kind of like get it, and mm-hmm. I've accepted it, and it took an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
On an episode recently, and I forget who it was, of course, but it was within the last few weeks, but it was like, you see the same situation and you see it again and again, and you understand it differently. And I think I'm really, mm-hmm. I'm starting to see that. And the unthawing. Okay. I think here's another, I'm not really into step two work in either program, but I'm really like, I'm so excited about the higher power thing. Like, I know how much relief it's going to bring me. And so I start to think about situations where it really is like something else was happening. And for my own emotional thaw, one of the things I did after that breakup last year is I went on this week-long solo hike in the White Mountains, like deep in the wilderness, right? And like, let's not go on a trafficked trail. Let's just like really go where I'm sure I'm not going to see anyone in case something goes wrong. And on the second day, I was like, I found this unbelievable, like way out, few miles out in all like radius in all directions, this incredible like sandy beach on this river and an island to camp on. It was incredible. And then I found these bear tracks that were not there, like, you know, whatever, 5 minutes ago. And so I was like freaking out. I'd spilled food everywhere. And long story short, I'm like failing to put up my like bare secure bag with my food. I've got like stuff all over me. I know I smell like food. And then I hear like these two trees come down across the river from me. I'm like, oh, like that's it. Like, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, world.
It was U.S. Forest Service workers, which they like doing repairs on the trail from a storm that had happened like 5 years back, because they never like they never do that type of maintenance. But I have never but my body does not remember having experienced a physical sensation like that. I described it to my therapist, and he was like, that's adrenaline. Like that's one of the most powerful physical sensations that you can experience. But it was like, I felt every single like fingertip and toe and like calf muscle and like it just buzzing, like vibrating. And I think, I mean, I'm struggling to access it. Like I talk in meetings about sometimes when I get overwhelmed, it's just like my tongue starts tingling and like my whole mouth gets a little swollen and tingly, but I unthawed for a second there in a way that I think might have like loosed some things that I just like, in a way that I didn't know was happening.
Jiggled things up.
Where that started. But like, what was I answering?
No, it was perfect. I'm excited for, you're talking about step two.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I was kind of off on a tangent. I was avoiding talking about like identifying the real growth that I've had. But that, I mean, that has to do with it, you know. I was reading. The reason why I'm thinking about this is I did keep a journal during that time. And today at the pool, I was reading that journal. And it was like, whoa. And I was reading about that experience. And again, you just like, you see the same thing. And you see it in a way that is completely different.
How has your relationship with your parents shifted at all over the past year?
My relationship with my dad has gotten a lot closer. He became a safer person, I think. And then my mom, it's just gotten, you know, oh my gosh, wait, yeah. So my dad, I like told him about Al-Anon and ACA. And then last week I did tell him about my program, and he was like really proud of me. I think it's still so frustrating though, because he's so supportive. And like, I think he's like in awe of me in like a very like sweet way. Then, you know, he turns around and like does things that make me incredibly uncomfortable in public, and then doesn't apologize and like calls me stupid and like doesn't realize what happened. And, you know, the behavior continues because he's still sick too. So that's really hard. And I think I'm currently struggling with that, because like, I feel like in some ways it's like, no, like I can share with him, like, he kind of knows what I'm going through a little bit. Like maybe there's that glimmer, but like it can't, like we can't be healthy together unless, because he's still so sick. Yeah. And my mom, I mean, and it's because like, I'm so sad for her in a way that I know you understand. Like it is devastating, but like,
why do you think they never got divorced?
I think like, they talked to me about it, or my dad never did. I think for him, it must be self-worth. It must be, it's like deep-seated. My mom definitely, like there's some weird like behavior where she like complained to me about that over the years in a way that's inappropriate, right? That's like a classic.
That she wanted to get a divorce and he wouldn't let her?
Okay. No, just that she wanted to, but she couldn't do that because something always happened. So for example, like my freshman year of college, my dad, he loves adventure sports. He biked over accidentally into a ravine and was like in the ICU. And my mom was like, oh, I was going to divorce your father, but then I couldn't because of, you know, this. And it's like her duty to take, she sees it as if she.
The victimhood. Yeah.
But yeah, there is thunder actually right now. She, I know, is not able to hear any of this, because the only thing that she hears is you're a bad mom.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that she knows to be true, and her story is, I gave up everything for you.
I have nothing now. Yeah.
I have nothing now. I gave up my entire life for you. Mm-hmm. You know it all, bitch. That's one of the one of her nicknames. And I actually, you know, something I actually also just put together because someone in our community shared about a sibling that had died right before they were born. My mom told me in the dentist's office when I was like 14 that I had a twin.
Really?
Who died.
Oh,
and
wow.
They gave her the option to terminate the pregnancy because there was likely going to be some kind of complication. And I didn't even connect the dots, but I feel like that's her.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's her story. Like I, you know, like
you should, she never processed that.
Maybe, but I mean, I think there's a lot for her. I think the family was really
absolutely
rough, but I'm so sad because I think it's so far, like it's so far gone that I'm still trying to let it go. And I just have so much rage right now that I can't be in the same room without being active myself.
Okay. Give me three things that you like about yourself.
Oh my goodness. I think I'm funny.
You are.
I am very creative and I'm brave.
You are brave. What's a hope or dream for your future?
I like am literally trying to figure out what my dreams are right now, but I just like have hope. Like I'm just so hopeful. Like I feel like I'm gonna be okay. And I haven't felt like in my core like that, like in a really long time or maybe ever. And I think it's the AA program.
Absolutely, it is.
I almost got it with Al-Anon and then I almost got it with ACA, but it's like no.
Well, no, I mean it's gonna be kind of hard for that stuff to really, you know, fully take effect if that part of it is not taken care of, you know?
I think I have hope.
I'm so glad that you're doing that. It's your life is going to change in crazy ways, wonderful ways. What's holding on?